Our Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. We do realize that there are many whose chances are gone. They are no more in this world. We pray for their families that somehow they will be convicted in their hearts and in their mind that if they do not know you, they will come to know you while they have the chance. And so thank you that we are still living on this earth and we still have the chance not only to abide by the faith we have in you, but also to take this message to others as well. Thank you for giving us this chance. And as this morning we open this session, Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts to understand the doctrines of Islam and how may we use it to reach Muslims for Christ. Heavenly Father, we know that you love Muslims too. It is the ideology behind it which is a problem. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for 1.5 billion Muslims this morning as well as we try to understand them and understand their ideology and how we may share Christ with them. We ask your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Onwards as well. You may be surprised that every year there are Muslim background believers meeting, having conferences in this country. We had one in February in Orlando. The other one was in Virginia just a few months ago. And now there is one coming up on the 4th of November in Texas near Houston. So yes, there are Muslims who are finding Christ. Yes, there are these, what we call the so-called moderate Muslims. And they also need Christ. As much as the radicals to be converted, the moderate also have to be converted. There is a problem. When I'm told that, yes, just a while ago I was told this question again and again, oh, but our Muslim friends are not like those radicals. Yes. Oh, you should be thankful to the Lord. But even moderate Muslims need Christ. Cornelius, mentioned in the book of Acts, was a good man. He was a Gentile and yet a very good man, God-fearing person. But he needed Christ as well. So even moderate Muslims need Christ. The problem with modernism in Islam is that there is this kind of like cancer waiting to attack. You know, when a Christian wants to be a good Christian and follow the teaching of the Bible, he becomes loving to the neighbor. However, when a moderate Muslim wants to be a good Muslim, he becomes more and more, and I'm sorry to say, but that's the fact, more ignorant and more arrogant, more upset with all the people. Only Islam should be accepted. And this is where the problem for a moderate Muslim is, that there is this cancer waiting to attack. He is living on the edge of a cliff with other friends. And if you are those friends, anytime, if he goes down, he is to take you with him too. So there is this problem. Then the other side, it can happen that you as Christians share with them, oh, you are very good, but are you sure? Tell me what you do. Are you sure that God will accept you? And then, of course, not. May I share with you, this is what Jesus said. Of course, if they do not accept, that's up to them. Now, that was not my part of the presentation, but that came to my mind and I share with you. Let's go to these. But because it is a part of the doctrine of Islam, I wanted to clarify that. If you have, please, your questions and other, we will have that session and we will deal with them. I don't claim to be an encyclopedia of Islam or Christianity, but whatever I know, I would gladly share with you if the time given. Well, I start with the call of Abraham. Between Islam and Christianity, Muslims believe that they also have a share in Abraham as well. In Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17, and of course several other places, this is the promise which was given to Abraham, as we see in Genesis, that all people on earth will be blessed through you. And Muslims believe in that too. Well, our Christian perspective is that God sent Jesus as the Messiah to fulfill that promise, that through his seed, who is Jesus, now all the door to the Gentiles have been opened as well. And that Jesus came as the Emmanuel, God with us. So here is our conclusion as Christians, that in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, period. Last night, as I mentioned, that now anybody who comes after Jesus, that person has to align himself with the message of Christ. However, there are 1.5 billion Muslims today who think otherwise. Their idea is that God has spoken through Muhammad after Jesus. 600 years later, Muhammad came into this world. He was born in 571 AD. And 619, he claimed to be a prophet of God. For 13 years, he preached and taught a doctrine that which was kind of like he was trying to bring Islam in alliance with Judaism and Christianity. And he taught a dream of that to unite Christians and Jews and Muslims together. Some agree with me, others disagree. But that was his message. Even he would say to the Jews and the Christians, they do not have to follow him. If you believe in God and on the Day of Judgment, no fear should come at you. However, it was later that he changed his mind after the 13 years. And the next 10 years, Islam became the only religion to be accepted. So both kind of verses now you see in the Quran. On one hand, there are, it will say, La ikraha fid din, there is no compulsion in the religion. But on the other, it will say, Inna dinna indallahi al-Islam, in God's eyes only Islam is acceptable. And then Muhammad adds to it his interpretation that if you, who are now a Muslim or become a Muslim, now you come something else, then there is the apostasy trait will happen, and apostate should be killed. So these 1.5 billion Muslims believe, in the light of the Quran, that even Jesus promised the coming of Muhammad. In the Quran we find this, that Jesus said to the children of Israel that after him there will be another prophet whose name is Ahmad. Now we are talking about Muhammad. Who is Ahmad? Ahmad is the second name of Muhammad given to him by his mother. This is what Muslim tradition tells us. And so Muslims today believe that Islam is the final religion from God. And of course, it is Islam which have to dominate the world, whether by hook or by crook. We also, as Christians, believe that God chose Jesus in these last days, that through whom we can come to him. And we also believe that when the kingdom of God is preached on this earth, there will be the end. But we do not go ahead. We have not been advised to go ahead and kill people for their faith. Sadly to say that yes, during the Crusades, during Germanic and Franks wars, and during the Spanish Inquisition, and here in South America and other places, there has been a lot of bloodshed. But the underlining is that the scripture does not say that. However, when it comes to Islam, their scripture does say that you can actually pressurize other people, whether by hook or crook, you should be Muslims. So 9 million Muslims now living in this country. Some say, oh, there are about 2 million and all this. But whatever, even 2 million Muslims, they believe the same. Last night I shared you why they believe the same. Because in the Quran, in three places, there is this verse which I share with you. That God has sent His Apostle Muhammad with guidance and true religion, Islam, so to make it prevail over all religions. And to do that, all facilities should be used. So, it goes all the way back. Muhammad rewrites the story for us. Even in this country, there is this strange habit is taking place, and that is to rewrite your story, your forefathers' story, how this country was found. People, when they want to program you, they do that. And this is what happened. Islam recognizes that the covenant was made with Abraham, but the promised child was Ishmael and not Isaac. And the final hope is Muhammad, not Jesus. See how things kind of being put together? So, Muhammad's claim about Abraham, he's known as Ibrahim. He's mentioned in 26 chapters scattered through the Quran. Can you imagine? It's not very much, but Moses is on the top. We will talk about that later. He's recognized as a prophet, patriarch, and messenger. See that quotation, Surah 19. Surah means chapter. There are 114 chapters in the Quran, and that's chapter 19 and verse 41. It mentions about him. Now, here is some historical problem. They have written history for you again. As we believe that Abraham's father was Terah or Terah, they believe that it was Azar. That sounds something like Lazar, who was the servant of Abraham. Anyhow, Abraham was promised that he will be a leader to all the nations of the world. And that appears in chapter 2 of the Quran. And God covenanted with Abraham and Ishmael. Abraham and Ishmael built the house of God. And where that house of God is? In Mecca. That's what they believe. That Abraham and Ishmael came to Mecca. Can you imagine? 1,000 miles away from where Abraham originally lived. And he built the temple where nowadays, for the past hundreds of years now, after Islam, Muslims in the direction of Mecca, they perform their prayers like the Jews used to and still do. In the direction of Jerusalem, pray. Remember Daniel, when he will open the window and pray towards Jerusalem, towards the east. Abraham was a Muslim, or Abraham was a Muslim. This is what. Now, the word Muslim is a. It's an Arabic word which means a person who has submitted himself to God. So, what is Islam? Islam is the name of the religion which a Muslim follows. And Islam means surrender. It also, some people will say Islam means peace. But that is a very different word actually. One is, they come from the same root. But then again, the meanings are different. Let's go a little bit further. According to Islam, Ishmael is the sacrificial son, not Isaac. It was. However, the Quran has a problem. When we look at the story of the great sacrifice of Abraham's son, the name is not mentioned in the Quran. This is why earlier Muslims for the first 2 centuries were divided among themselves. Some believed it was Isaac and others believed it was Ishmael. But of course, the uniformity came along afterward and they decided that it will be Ishmael. But the Quran does not mention that. We have a leaflet by the title called The Great Sacrifice. Please do look at it. So Islamic claims are something like this. In chapter 7 of the Quran, Muhammad is talking about the story of Moses. And then out of the blue, he says this thing. And then he goes back to the story of Moses. And this passage says that this messenger, Muhammad, is described in the Torah and the Gospel. And so what Muslims do is that they go to the Bible to find those prophecies. And thus, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, I will ask Moses was, sorry to put it this way for you, Moses was told that God will raise another prophet like him. And we better listen to him. Now, Muslims believe that that is actually Prophet Muhammad. They quickly jumps over the New Testament where Jesus is mentioned. He said to the Jews, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. Clearly. And then even the people, when saw Jesus performing miracles, and they said, is it not that prophet who has come now mentioned? And then Jesus, when he was resurrected, it is mentioned in the Gospel according to Luke, towards the end of it, that when he was meeting his people after his resurrection, he said to them, had it not been that these things should be fulfilled? And he starts with the law of Moses and the Psalms and all this, and he mentions about his fulfillment. Even the apostles referred to it. Anyway, we'll come to that later. But then Jesus has mentioned as well that, so what they do is they go to Gospel of John. We'll talk about that later, where Jesus mentioned, I will ask the Father to give you another comforter. And they believe it is Muhammad. Now you know and I know that it is not him. How could be him? Muhammad lived only for 63 years on this earth. About the Holy Spirit, was promised that he would be with you forever. That is one area. We will come back to that as well. When we look at Islam today, we see that they are divided into two big groups, the Sunnis and the Shia. And Sunnis, as you see at this map of the Islamic world, they are the pale green are the Sunni populated area. The Shia, about 85 million, mostly in Iran, southern Iraq, Lebanon, Bahrain, and a few other places, as far as some areas of Syria and Turkey as well, you will find them. And of course, down to Yemen as well. There are other splinter groups too in Islam. It's quite interesting, this tradition mentioned in Mishkat is not in the sixth authentic book, but in one of the later books. But Mishkat actually relates to Sahih Bukhari. You don't have to remember these things. It's just my habit that I say these things, because a lot of my Muslim listeners, when they are listening, I have to provide the information for them where I'm quoting from. And Muhammad said, my people will be divided into 73 sects. Each of them will remain in the fire except one sect. And each sect of Islam believes that they are the true, the remnant. You know, you have the idea of the remnant among Christians as well. The Seventh-day Adventists believe that they are the remnant. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe they are the remnant. And there is the, I think the Seventh-day Baptists also have several ideas. And of course, Armstrongism and several other people have these ideas. It would be so nice to go back to the scripture and be quiet about the things which are not clear, and be very vocal about the things which are quite clear, and that is the salvation of Christ. Well, as we believe in the Bible to be the Word of God, they do believe in the Bible, but they say it is corrupted, and we can talk about that, about the integrity of the Scripture later on, if we have the time. So this is the Quran in which they believe, and you will see in India and Pakistan and some other Middle Eastern countries pictures and drawings like these, a brother and a sister sitting and trying to read the Quran or learn the Quran. From my childhood, I've been seeing these pictures and all that. And do you see that kind of like These words, that is Allah and that is Muhammad there. See that number 786? When Muslims do not want to write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the name of Allah the Merciful and Magnificent and whatever that will be the Beneficent and the Merciful, they will put 786. That's the calculation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Some people believe that when you calculate the creed of Islam, have you seen the Hamas people with a band around their head? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, which says that's also the creed. That's the Apostle Creed for them. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his apostle. Arabic numeral and Arabic letters have a kind of weight, or they will say it has a value. So that value, when added and subtracted or something, people have put together and some have come to the idea of 666. I do not know why, but that's what they believe. By the way, the Quran has 6,666 verses. So, you know, you want to have a numerical problem, that it is. I'm more familiar with this picture. This reminds me my teenage life or my childhood, the way I learned the Quran. Here in the West, yes, things are changing for Muslim. Here is a little girl with the translation of the Quran, short surahs, it says. So surahs like four verses, or, you know, like the Psalms, there are some few verses of Psalm, and yet there are Psalms which have like 119. Psalm is way over the limit. And this is, so children learn those. They are encouraged to learn it in Arabic, but of course translation is given to them too. Here is in European Western society, we see how children sit there in the mosque or in the Islamic center to study the Quran. Ah, look at this. The Quran, you can memorize the Quran and learn, your children can learn online. How much study you have given online to your Sunday school children? Well, in my case, at that time they didn't have internet, so I had to stay away from it, or somehow. Maybe if it was, I would have followed it. It's not only the Quran, which I just mentioned. There are other books, what Muhammad said, what Muhammad did, and they have been collected together. And these are some of the books in which they appear. The six collection of traditions are: any faith you pick up, it's divided into two sections. One is what we call faith, belief, and then it's put into practice. Islam is also a religion in a kind of divided into two sections. There is the faith that you recite, you all kind of like memorize, but then you put all that instruction into practice, and it's called deen as well. I remember from my childhood, these must be just kind of like ants crawling, but they are not. Again, it's Arabic, and it goes like this: Amantu billahi malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wa laqadr khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'si ba'dal maut. Oh, let me translate it for you. It says, I believe in Allah, I believe in His angels, I believe in His books, I believe in His apostles, I believe on the day of the last day, I believe in قَدْرَهُ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِهِ. In other words, I believe in the destiny that all bad things and good things come from God. Yes, even bad things come, God originated those, all those things. And I believe in the resurrection after life. So these are things called articles of faith. Al-Iman al-Mufassal. So this is the way: God, His angel, His books, His messengers, the last day, the divine decree of good and evil, the predestination that God had decreed, including the evil for the people, and of course the resurrection of death. So that is the belief. Now comes the practical side of it. How do you practice this belief? Well, this is known by the five pillars of Islam. This is what Muhammad said. And he said the foundation of Islam is on five things. The yellow starts from the right, Shahada, which means the witness. And the witness is that God is Allah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is Allah's apostle. The second one is Salat, in the second line. And that means prayer, the obligatory prayer. Muslims perform five times of prayer, and they have to do. When a child is about 6 years old, he or she has to learn how to recite those prayers and how to perform them. When the child is about 10, if he doesn't do it, then he can be beaten. And I used to have that problem as well. Then on the right is zakat, and which means tithing in your way. But there's his offering, then the pilgrimage, and of course, on the last one is the month of Ramadan. So, creed, prayer, offerings, pilgrimage, and fasting. These are the things which should be done. When I say pilgrimage, the pilgrimage, yes, it is not essential, but it is good that once in your lifetime, you should visit Mecca as well. In fact, some people believe that you go to Mecca for Hajj and also go to Medina, all your previous sins are forgiven. The Quran does not say, but these are some of the things which they have these ideas. If you keep the fasting month of Ramadan and perform all the prayers from, and towards the end of the fasting month, God comes down to the seventh heaven. So there are seven heavens. And God lives on the first heaven, on the top of it somewhere, and He comes down to the seventh heaven, downward, during the last days of month of Ramadan, and He writes the fate of people. And at that time, He listens what people's desire is, and God will accept that desire, if He desires to. So, to perform these properly, these pillars of Islam, jihad is added with the meaning of striving, both spiritual and physical, like in war against enemy. Yes, jihad also means spiritual, but it also means physical. For example, in Saudi Arabia, at the time of prayer, the shop should be closed. And if it is not, the muhtasib, the religious police, come along and he close it for you and fine you. First time. Second time you don't do, there is a physical punishment for it. So some of these things are there. A person is not keeping the fasting and he is adult and he doesn't have any other problem. Why he can't? He could be punished for it as well. So these are kind of punishments as well. Then jihad is also used for not only oppressing their own people, but also to go for other people to convert them. So let's come back to important factors. There are a lot of other factors, but these are some of the things which concern us as well and which are most important to know. Here in America, when it comes to God, there is something strange going on. I look at the interfaith and the American media. They have involved themselves so much. They say, oh, we don't want to know about religion. And yet, when there is something going on, multicultural society or some interfaith thing is going on, they will really go for it. And the liberal media will give. So there is this interfaith dialogues, interfaith forums, and of course there will be interfaith prayers and vigils as well, which are happening. And so here we are. All these things, oh, we have to just work it for ourselves. And behind these cars, you will see these signs coexist. But do we really coexist? We cannot. That's not possible. Yes, as Christians, we are allowed, we love them. But when it comes to draw the line, there should be a drawing of the line there as well. And so they just kid themselves, and this goes on and on and on. And Muslims are very good at it. They want to use it because what I have studied so far, I have seen this again and again, that Islam has this idea it can live with any other faith because it will become dominant against it. But Christianity has always been a problem for it. Why? Because the more Christians become spiritual, the more they are hard believer, and it is very hard for Muslims to counter what they believe. Jesus as this my Savior. This is what Jesus has said, I must love you no matter what. And they have no answer for it. And so to work it out, somehow they want to destroy it. And it's much easier to destroy it through the back door. And this is what is happening. I have seen this again and again. And so here Christians are who bring these Muslim friends together and let them use their pulpit, their platform, and their facility for their prayers and other. When was the last time that a church was asked, since your church is under construction or you are doing renovation, you can come to our mosque and perform your prayers there? Have you heard about it? We all hear about how the Christian churches have been used by Muslims, given to them, they can come in and perform all their prayers. You will never hear that. Why? You want to be coexist? This is what you do. They experienced it all in the European society to make it Arabia, a Arabian culture, and then it backfired on them. Because first they were making jokes about Christianity and all other religions, thinking that one day we will joke against Islam and make these cartoons so they will also feel, oh, they have been doing that to Christians and now they're doing it to us, so it's okay. And we will establish a culture like that. As soon as they returned to Islam, it backfired on them. And it is happening in this country as well. Yes, you see these type of signboards run by, it says Center for Peace, but it's actually run by the Central Florida Islamic Center, actually from Orlando. Jews, Christians, and Muslims, one God, many paths, let's talk. So not anymore, it is a Judeo-Christian tradition, it is Abrahamic tradition, because they believe in Abraham as well. Ah, okay. We are all one in the Abrahamic faith. Really? And now we see this other thing that's called Chrislam. To bring down Jesus to the level of Muhammad, and that will be all okay. We believe in the same God. Okay, so do we? Well, Islam claims that in Allah whom we believe, He is the God of Abraham. He revealed the Quran to Muhammad. And even the Quran says, O Israel, worship Allah who is my Lord and your Lord. Rabbi wa Rabbukum. This is what Muhammad was told. O people of the book, i.e. the Jews and the Christians, our God and your God is one. In other words, Islam is claiming that the Jehovah, the Father you people call Him, the Elohim, is the same Allah we are talking about. But does He? In Islam, Allah has 99 names I mentioned last night to you. And of course, He is our Lord, but He is not our Father. There is the contradiction. Not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, God as our Father and He as our family being mentioned. But Muslims say that is blasphemy. No, you should not believe that. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes unto the beneficent as a slave. So, your and mine relationship to God is of a master and a servant, which in one way is true, but not always. Because when we become adopted in His family, we are no more His slave. We are free in Him. However, Islam denies that. Here is a clip from this man by the name Ahmad Didat.
Surah Maryam, verse number 93.
Quoting from the Quran.
In kulli samawati wal ardi illa atir rahmani abda. that none in the heavens and the earth will come before his Creator except as an abd, as a servant, as a slave. Our relationship with our Maker is that of a master and a servant, of the owner and his slave. This is the relationship in a nutshell. And we leave it to the philosophers and the intellectuals to go on reveling about all the other details, but in a nutshell, this is it. He is our Maker and we are his slave.
You hear that? Ahmadinejad, he died in the 90s, but he was a very, very polemic writer and against Christianity from South Africa, and also for his material is still on the internet. Type Ahmadinejad in Google search and you will find a lot of his material written against Christianity. So what is the biblical approach to this whole thing? See, in the face of Chrislam, coexist and other things, our responsibility is, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, and I find, just in the Gospel, 164 times in the Gospel, the word Abba, Father, and yet Islam denies it. Then, Jesus encourages us to God, call God as our Father, a relationship with Muhammad, which Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, rejects. Then, Jesus, we believe, is the Son of God. And Jesus actually certified it as well for us, that yes, he should be called the Son of God. As believers, we are not anymore abd slaves, but his adopted children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And here is the quotation. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine Galatians 3:26 and of course chapter 4, 1-7. And yet Islam takes that away from us, denies. Do we believe in the same God then? Not really. Yes, God is the same. But our understanding is different. And that understanding matters a lot. Yes, God is merciful and loving, but his love is conditional, as I mentioned last night. He has created some for hell and others for paradise. And here is the crunch. Usually they say, oh, no. Here, all these moderate people tell me, and in the media here in America say, oh, no. Jihad does not actually mean killing. And the Quran does not condone killing as well. Well, what is this? Chapter 61, verse 4. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يَقْتُلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Indeed, Allah loves those people who kills in his way. In other words, for him. What would you do to that? So why we kind of like go further and further? First, look at the Quran. Take it like we do with the Bible. See the scripture. What does it say literally? And then go from there, from literalism to figurative language as well, if there is a possibility. But in this case, there is no possibility. Because the second area, the tradition of Islam, certifies that yes, that would happen. And this is what people have been doing. So decide for yourself, do we believe in the same God? Muhammad claiming to be inspired by God wants our children to kill and die in the way of Allah. قَاتُلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. While Jesus says, believe in me and you will have eternal life. God already sent me to die for you. You know, there is a compassion which offends God. It offended Jesus as well. One moment Peter said to Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. And now Jesus tells him that this is by my Father revealed to you. And now Peter is puffed. And now Jesus mentions that the Son of Man, these things were going to happen. He will be persecuted, he will die, and he will be buried and rise again. And Peter says, Master, Rabbi, God forbid this may happen to you. See compassion, which offends God. And then Jesus He takes even Jesus to a side. What are you talking about? What kind of king you would be? And Jesus turns around and says, get thee behind Satan. It was not him. It was the idea behind him which was sown into his mind, suspicion. One moment inspired by God, another moment something totally different. This is what is happening in our Christianity in the West. Compassion that offends God. Here were these apostles who gave their lives when they understood the message. Like a broken record, they just went and said, this Jesus, he died for our sin and resurrected. And he now says to this death, where is your victory? Death at last will be taken totally by him. And then he will give the kingdom back to God the Father. Now, it all fits together. But oh my Christian friends, what is happening to you? Why are you so behind in this whole thing that those apostles and disciples who give their lives for this? And you are now saying, and our bishops and all these hierarchy is saying, oh, perhaps it was just in the mind of these people. They were all perhaps hallucinated. And some may say perhaps they were having some opiums. I'm sorry. Okay. Come on, Stephen. Calm down. Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible. This is what I see. Let's go further. And I'm really behind. And this is about Jesus. Here is again, Center for Peace, the Islamic Society of Central Florida has put these I wanted to rent one of these, and they said it will be $1,500 every month. I said, yes, there's a lot of petrodollar money as well, coming from your pocket actually. I wish you would learn somehow not to do that. But next time when you go to the gas pump and when you clean your windshield and look and clean the mirror, think how much of that percentage is gone to the Middle East. Do you know that over 1.5 billion Muslims believe in Jesus? And a Christian would say, oh, so we believe in the same Jesus. Yes, you believe in the same Jesus. How much you know about that Jesus? Here is an organization called CARE. And it even says America's largest Islamic civil liberties group. And they advertise this, more in common than you think about Jesus. And let me bring this, these two paragraphs from it. Like Christians, Muslims respect and revere Jesus. And this coming from that advertisement. Islam teaches that Jesus is one of the greatest of God's prophets and messengers to humankind. And then, like Christians, every day over 1.3 billion Muslims strive to live by his teaching of love, peace, and forgiveness. Did you hear that? Like Christians, every day over 1.3 billion Muslims strive to live by his teachings of love, peace, and forgiveness. I hope you heard that. Now, this is advertised here in this country. Well, persecution of Christians is so extensive, statistics show that more Christians were martyred for their faith in the 20th century than in the previous 19th century combined. And in the 21st century, the number has accelerated. Just a few days ago, things happened in Egypt. In Iraq, things have been happening. And it's just spreading all over in Pakistan. And of course, other places we do not even hear. As far as Indonesia, do we believe in the same God, in the same Jesus? There, in Turkey, Jesus is not Son of God, he is a prophet of Islam. So what does Islam believe about Jesus, a Christian? See, this is why as Christians, we have to know our Bible at least. So we can compare, we can ask a Muslim, okay, tell me about your faith, and then compare it. And this is what they believe. That Jesus is one of the 124,000 prophets sent into this world. He's an apostle of God like Abraham, Moses, and David. Jesus was born of a virgin. Very good. A lot of Christians have difficulty with it. And they yet call themselves Christian. So, they do not. They will say, yes. Like other prophets, he is sinless, but he is not the Son of God, divine or God himself. Surah 19 mentions that. He is the Messiah even. Isa al-Masih, the sign, the word and spirit of God. Ah. But then again, you know, Islam uses our vocabulary, but it does not use our dictionary that you learn already. It does not use our dictionary the way it's explained. And Jesus was not crucified. So here's the Bible tells us clearly in Luke chapter 23 and other, this is what happened to him. But the Quran goes and says, they slew him not, nor crucified him. They did not really slay, but God took him up to himself. In all that. So do we believe in the same Jesus then? Oh yeah, we believe in the same Jesus, but we do not think it's the same. But we got a problem here then. Jesus ascended to heaven without dying. Jesus will return. And you know when he returns, this is not very much in the Quran, but in the traditions. When he returns, he will ask all Jews and Christians to follow Islam. And if not, he will join this Islamic figure known as Mahdi. The Shia are waiting for their Imam. And Sunni also think that he's not the Shia Imam, it's a different person who will come to that power. In any case, Jesus will side with this Mahdi and fight against Christians and Jews. And through this big battle, peace will be established. There will be an Antichrist, Dajjal. He will be killed too. And then Jesus will perform pilgrimage to Mecca. Since Jesus was a prophet of God, and prophets were always married, he will marry, will take a bride, will have children, and then later on he will die and will be buried next to Muhammad's grave. There is an empty grave actually there, near Muhammad's grave, that Jesus dies, he will be buried there, and then after that, for some time, after that, there will be the end. Day of Judgment will take place. We have some leaflets for you. For example, this leaflet explains God has no wife. And of course, Karen mentioned to you about why follow Jesus. It's kind of like a bite-sized chapter, 20 chapters, which helps a Muslim to know the real story about Christ, which is based on the Bible. You know that the Quran does not mention the Passover. It mentions the story of Moses all from the beginning to the end, but it does not mention the story of the Passover. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. God unleashed 10 terrible plagues in the land of Egypt. Muhammad mentions Moses' confrontations with the Pharaoh 27 times in the first 89 chapters out of 114 in the Quran, but ignores the Passover. That's a deliberate thing when you look at it. That so many times you mention and you every time ignore that. The Quran states there were only 9 signs given, not 10. Since Muhammad denied the death of Jesus on the cross, now he was going for this thing. It was obvious for him to deny Jesus as the atoning Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This led him to purposely avoid mentioning the Passover, an event of the Old Testament foreshadowing Christ as the atonement for those who would believe in him. So what should be our biblical approach to this one? Well, share that the scripture emphasized the importance of the crucifixion and resurrection together. And that's there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 to 4. And then again, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Without that, you have no Christianity. Nothing. You have not even your salvation. So the biblical approach is Jesus being his word is also the light of the world. We being God's creation and by following God's guidance become the light of the world as well, which is not mentioned in the Quran. It's in the Bible. Do we believe in the same Jesus then? Not really. Jesus is the living Word of God. The Bible is about why God sent Him and how we may be, by believing in Him, be translated into the fellowship, to the family of God, and become the citizen of the kingdom of God. They don't want to believe it, leave it to them. You cannot convert people. It is the Holy Spirit which convicts the hearts, and even the Holy Spirit will say, okay, well, my gentleman, if you want to kick me out of your schools and colleges and churches, okay. There was a man by the name Sadhu Sundar Singh in the 19th century in India. He became a Christian from Sikhism, and he will see visions and dream. And he came to the West, to Britain actually, in the 19th century. And he mentions in his book that he went to this church because, like in the Eastern countries, you enter into any mosque or any... You can perform your prayer. So he was thinking in that way. So he just left his small place and he was walking on the street of London and wearing all that big robe of a sadhu. And people thought he was a Hindu, but he was a Christian. And he went into this church and they kicked him out. And when he kicked him out, he even told him that he's a Christian and all things. Oh no, we do not allow that type of attire in this church. You have to be in that suit and tie, of course, traditional that was. And so he stood outside, looked towards the heaven and cried. He said, these are my brothers. And he writes that Christ appeared at that time sitting on a wall there as well. You know, jokingly, like kind of like in a joke. He said to him, Sadhu, don't worry about it. You've been just kicked out. It was about 50 years ago they kicked me out. This is what is happening. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit of God. What is Ruh? The command of God, he said. Some of the Jewish friends around Muhammad asked him this question, and so he replied. The Quran refers to Jesus as a word and spirit from God. Muslim scholars see the angel Gabriel as the Holy Spirit. Confusion? Go a little bit further. We supported Jesus with the Holy Spirit, so they say it was the angel Gabriel actually. But the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is believed to be Muhammad. And we have a leaflet for you again. Did Jesus promise Muhammad's coming? And then it talks about the Gospel of John. I mentioned just one, give you one idea. But there is another idea too. You know, Jesus said, we Christians understand in this area, Jesus said that this Holy Spirit was not only to be in them, but also would be living with them forever. But this Holy Spirit was also going to remind them what Jesus has said and lead them further into the truth. So today, as a Christian, when I look at the Bible, I see that's what happened. These apostles receiving the Holy Spirit later on when they write, thus what Jesus did, the Gospels. And then further leading was the epistles. That's what the way I see it. However, Jesus also said, He will take it from me and will give it to you. This Holy Spirit will receive the message from me and will give it to you. If the Holy Spirit is Muhammad, and Muhammad received this Quran, where did it come from? Then it came from Jesus. But Muslims believe this came from God. So what would be my conclusion? Western mind? Think about it. Then it means that Jesus is God and God is Jesus. But a Muslim would say, Astaghfirullah, blasphemy, blasphemy. If that is not acceptable, why would you accept these other areas? And then, Right from the beginning, Jesus says, I will ask the Father to give you another comforter. My Muslim friend, do you believe that God is our Father? Oh, no, 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 that part is corrupted. But it is in the same words, in the same passage. You cannot believe that God is our Father, yet believe that Jesus, who calls Him the Father, you just pick and choose. I do not understand why. If you understand, please share that with me. I've said this in many apologetic meetings and all things, and there is always a messy situation. So I decided I will not to have those type of debates anymore. Anyway, let's go about salvation. Islam does teach about salvation and judgment, but not as taught in Christianity. See, this is the Islamic equation. Faith plus works plus perhaps divine mercy, then equals salvation. So on the day of judgment, God perhaps will be merciful. We do not know. So you continue your in your faith, then works, and then wait for the divine mercy, and perhaps you will have salvation. The Christian biblical equation is divine mercy. God so loved the world. The mercy already arrived. Now you accept it. Whoever believes, you accept it, and then equals salvation. And now I have received this, that love of God convicts me in my mind, in my heart, to do what Jesus has commanded. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. It is not, I'm not doing all these things to receive, to enter into the pearly gate. That's already granted. But because Jesus also says, yes, of course, you will bring the book of James and all that, and I believe in it, yes. Because belief actually convicts your heart to do the right thing. If it doesn't, then you got a problem, or I got a problem as well. So salvation is through good works. Are you sure? No, a Muslim would say last night, I mentioned. That day we will know. Paradise is guaranteed for jihad martyrs. This is the only thing. But wait a minute. We got another problem. And that problem is, how does one decide that the particular war can be treated as jihad? It could be a geopolitical war like Palestinian, like Kashmir in India, like Cyprus. The northern Turkish Cypriots are fighting with each other. And certain other places like in Mindanao in Philippines. It could be a geopolitical thing. So how do you decide? Well, you got a problem again. So there is another big problem. There are level of sins. There is saghira and there is kabira. There are small sins and there are greater sins as well. And so there are recording angels. At this time there is an angel on my right sitting here to keep my balance right. And there is another angel here. This one is writing all the good things I do. This one is writing all the bad things I do. And so the balance between good and bad deeds determines eternal destiny in paradise or hell. In other words, a credit debit system. If I do bad things, I go do good things. See where it's coming from? It's kind of like some of our Catholic friends have these type of ideas too. Well, when I look at the Bible, I see this. This is the Christian hope. There is no jihadism in this, that if you die for martyr for Christ, you go straight into heaven. Yes, it is good, but that's not the only story. So there is no exception. Yes, God, in the presence of God we arrive. God's justice and law condemn us. But then on the other side is God's love and grace. And that actually through Jesus Christ, we present ourselves into the presence of God. With Islam, there is an exception. The exception are those who die in jihad in Surah 3:157. So there is the belief of and good deeds and there is the evil. And then if your weight is the good things is higher, then you go into paradise. But not in the fellowship of Allah. He's still somewhere else. The Christian idea is that God's tent will be among people, but not in Islam. And of course, I will not go into the describing the paradise of God. I will leave that. They believe there are, every Muslim will have 72 virgins and all that. We will leave that for the moment. God's mercy may tip the balances, but it's arbitrary and uncertain. Often Muslims claim that Muhammad will intercede, but last night I showed you that that's not the case. Muhammad talks about grace and mercy, but then he doesn't tell us where that grace and mercy could be. You want to talk to Muslim friends? Here is a book, yes, there are many other books as well. But for this, I can guarantee you. This is a kind of like story of me talking to a Muslim friend and how we talked about various issues between Islam and Christianity. And you can get help. For some reason, if you cannot afford, please take that information. Just tell that lady, I know Stephen, and just take it away. I want to have more room in our garage. Please take it and read them. But don't leave it on and taking the dust. Pray to the Lord and ask, what do you want me? Could I give this to my doctor, my friend, or my next door neighbor? Or even if not, if you are not in your heart that much courage, you do not have, you know, open your telephone directories. Find all these Muhammad, Ahmad, Abdullah, Hussein, and all that. Or, if you don't know the names of Muslims, Google search. Go, Muslim names, a big list. Find them in the telephone directory. Pray about them. Select a few. Put these leaflets in it and just post it without your address on it. God can still do miracles. Yes. Can still do things. So what is the Muslim worldview? Well, Muslim understands religion as a whole and integrated way of life. Western politics, media and culture is seen as part of Christianity. See, one of the biggest stumble block for a Muslim when he wants to get away from Christianity tells me, you know, between 200 to 500 emails a day I receive. Of course, more than half are, they want to destroy my computer and spams, and also a lot of other things happens, and then the website falls down and all these things happens. But during all this conversation, when a person is understood the message between Islam and Christianity, they play another trick, and that trick is, yes, I see your point, but show me the money. What does he mean? He means, why has it not changed the lives of so many Christians? Why there is not much difference left between Christians and the outside people? And that's where the whole conversation takes another turn. Yes, I do mention to him, as there are a lot of bad Muslims, there are a lot of bad Christians. And this is not, I'm not talking about Christianity, I'm talking about Christ and our relationship with him. Yes, the person understands, but then they take it that way as well. Why has it not changed our lives? For many Muslims, the word crusade is a military symbol. Do you know that not only through the crusades, yes, they started it and we responded. But we responded badly, so much badly. We did not only kill Muslims, but we killed Jews as well, systematically. And we have done things in the past that is just, again, one thing I thank the Lord that the Bible doesn't say that. And that's where the healing comes. Brotherhood, fellowship, and consensus is emphasized. Individualism is avoided. Muslims see Islam and its law to prevail all religions and governments. Muslims are also encouraged, even programmed, to establish the Islamic Sharia system, or to establish what we call the United States of Islam, or they will also call it the United States of Islam. Some have gone too far to give even America turned, not all those stars, but with a crescent moon and with one star on it only. Some have gone that far to even they have currencies and show them that, oh, when we establish the United States of Islam in the world, we will have this type of currency. Some even go to this thing. There is an Islamic thinker society in this country who says, well, this is your White House or whatever you call it. We will have it like this. The flag of La ilaha illallah will be there. And then, of course, they say, this is your Buckingham Palace. It's a very summer day. In a wintry day, it's like this. And they want to turn it into a mosque, that it should. And these are their designs. You may, oh, this will never happen, but the idea is there. And
Islam will dominate. That's what it will be. We want to see Sharia here, and it will be. The flag of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, will be, inshallah, in the White House, if that's what we choose to be. It just takes time. The American people are waking up now.
Allah does say that the whole world eventually will be under his ruling. The world will come down to where everybody obeys the laws of God.
Islam, listen on you. But we will force Islamic Sharia, inshallah.
So the way of jihad and Sharia here in America is something like this. First, dawah, evangelism, mosques. Establish mosques, centers. You know that whenever Islam invaded or went to into another country, they always put landmarks. Remember what the Jewish people did? Landmarks. Remember. Following imitation again. Mosques, centers. Even the Ground Zero Mosque, calling it Cordoba, the Spanish situation. So there is, yes, evangelism, mosques and center, establish them. Then there's another. Muhammad said he advised his people to marry. Of course, at one time they can marry four, and if they want to marry a fifth one, they have to divorce the first one. And then they have other relations as well. And Muhammad has been mentioned that people should find beautiful and, for the very strange word, fertile women who could have more children. And here we are living in a society called abortionist. We are very much worried about the rest of the world, and we go there, send our children there to die for that country, to have freedom and democracy, but we are killing thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions babies in this country. This is an anathema. It's a shameful thing we do. I'm sorry. Anyway, there is the political influence as well. Muhammad did it, and so these other people have been doing. Get in line with the political societies. Educational institutions. You know, you just go to an university and talk about Christianity or anything little bit about Islam, like the way I'm talking, I would be grabbed and shut up. It happened just a few days ago, actually, in California. Media, news agencies. Do you know that Muslims are very good at it? You could be too. But we just keep lagging behind. What Muslims do is they always go for the newspaper and will make friendship with the local newspaper. In Marion County, the Muslims have very good friendship with the Star Banner. And every time during the fasting month of Ramadan, when they are distributing some goodies to poor people, also in Islam, Muslim comes first, they will take pictures and all this thing. In 2006, they were printing Muslim Life in Marion County, and they kind of were interviewing. And then somebody said, oh, we should interview a Christian as well. And they came to know about me. So they came to me. After 1 hour of all that information and everything, they took from me, took pictures. A little picture of about 2 inches appeared with this big picture of a Muslim family in a mosque and all that. And then it said, I was misquoted and all that. Anyway, God can use some bad things as well. And it was because of that that three gentlemen came in my life. One was Dr. Dreyfus, Robert Dreyfus. The other one was Robert Pearson from the Baptist Church and Mary Kemp. And the third was the Caroline Harding. And these people from that day realized that they want to support our ministry. Can you imagine how the Lord just changes the whole thing? But they use this. The same is financial institutions. Do you know that on Wall Street, they have a system called Iman X. Iman means faith, actually. Iman X. And they do business, Sharia business type of thing. Supporting and recruiting Mujahideen. You know that zakat which I mentioned? Much of that money ends up in the pocket of these Mujahideen people. Mujahid is the striver, the person who is doing the jihad. During the Bush era, these things were kind of controlled somehow. They tried to find out that, okay, if a person is sending more than $10,000, they have to know why this person is sending. The present administration in Egypt, the president in his presentation said, when he goes back to country, that will be taken off the list. And Muslims want to help other Muslims, they can. No media picked on that. And that rule, which was put together, is no more there. And nobody is talking about it. Why? There's another thing, the doctrine of taqiyya and kitman. It's in this country as well. Deception and concealment of intentions for a greater purpose. I was going to bring the Sharia law from the 13th century, a whole book, and there is an English translation of it called Umdat al-Salik, and it clearly mentions a Muslim can lie in several things. He can lie to his wife when his wife, he comes late in the night and the wife says, "Where have you been?" And he says, "Nowhere." He could be somewhere else. To keep the peace in the house. A Muslim can lie to another Muslim to keep the peace in the community. A Muslim can lie if it will to establish the Islamic hierarchy or kingdom. So if he's supporting the Mujahideen, he can lie and says, "No, sorry, I'm not doing that. I don't do that." He's able to lie. I should have brought that, but I can send you more information about it. It's called kitman and taqiyya. So the biblical worldview, a Christian is also in jihad as well. It's a struggle, but it's a spiritual struggle in the real meaning. Share that Christians too are involved in jihad struggle. Our jihad is against the spiritual forces of evil. Our jihad is to live in the line with the will of God and His Jesus. Our jihad is to love even our enemies and continue pleading with the Lord on their behalf to forgive them. Our jihad is to do dawah. Dawah means to invite. Evangelism, actually. Share the Bashara, which means Injil, the Gospel, with all people everywhere. That's our struggle. That's our jihad for you and me. So, this is what Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Does it mean that we should not go and use the sword? These are individual responsibilities. And that, what the government does is, it is a governmental system. This is why Romans chapter 13 comes along, that God has given them the sword in their hand. That's why I and you have to be careful to give the sword in the hand of a person who would realize God controlling that person and kind of like answerable to God and answerable to you, and then go and do justice on this earth. That type of government we need, that type of person we need in the hierarchy system. What a Christian jihad is, be reminded that Muslims too are people made by God in His own image. As Christians, we have to realize that. and share that with Muslims. God has appointed you and me, in other words, we Christians, has His ambassadors to reach Muslims too. Share God's love for you with Muslims and how He redeemed you. Please pray for them so to be released from the clutches of evil and be translated into His light. Yes, the Muslim mindset is to be very zealous for God. You know, Paul, as Saul, he was very zealous for God, but yet his zeal was wrong. And when he realizes, this is what he writes. He says, Christ is the end of the law. Yes, he knew that all these Jewish people are, Jewish friends are so zealous for God, but their zeal is in the wrong place. The same is with Muslims. They are very zealous for God, but their zeal is in the wrong place with the wrong person. Ask your Muslim friends, have you kept all the facets of the Sharia? Not really. They want to establish it, but they themselves could be in big trouble for it as well. And they have been. And then we share the biblical approach. We have to realize, we have to say no to Islamophobia. There is no such thing, but there are people who will tell us. And phobia means to be fearful. Say no to fear, fury, and fascination. Why would I say the word fascination? Yes, people become fearful, and then later on they become so upset, and the fury comes. And then once you are fearful and fury, you cannot decide right from the wrong. And it becomes a problem. Fascination, during this whole thing, because our own basis may not be very good foundation, so we become fascinated by the Islamization and the unity in the culture and their loving and kindness and being so good to their parents and so good to their eldership, and they don't send their children, their elderly people into the eldership house like we do. The family takes care. So we are very much kind of fascinated by this. When we are born, you know, when we have marriages and the child is born, we hire other people to take care of our children while we go and work. Muslims give their children to their grandma, auntie, and others, and they take care of them as well. And so that type of attitude kind of fascinates us. And we say, oh, this is if this is what Islam is presenting, let's accept it. And we just go on. But that's not the case. God has brought Muslims to our doorsteps. Acts chapter 17, 26. Read it for yourself. Yes, they have an agenda, but God also has an agenda so that they may know about Christ.